Thank you for listening to a reading presented by the Poetry Center of Chicago. The Poetry Center is an independent, nonprofit arts organization promoting poetry in Chicago through readings, workshops, and arts education. To learn more about the Poetry Center, to read poems by our students in Chicago Public Schools, or to donate, please visit www.poetrycenter.org.
Hi, everybody. Ooh, is that very loud, or is that okay? Good, good. Thumbs up from people in the back. Hello, I'm Danielle Susi. I'm the curator and host of the 6 Points Reading Series. Thank you for joining the Poetry Center. Oh, that's a thing. Thank you for joining the Poetry Center of Chicago this evening. I don't know, can you call it evening, afternoon? In the beautiful, historic Chicago Cultural Center. The Poetry Center was established in 1973, and we're really excited to be celebrating our 40th year of promoting poetry in Chicago through readings, workshops, and arts education. We do that primarily through two different organizations within that. One is this reading series, the other is Hands-on Stanzas, which gives teaching opportunities to poets through that organization and puts them in Chicago public schools. And tonight we are kicking off the new 6 Points reading series, and I'm really excited to be bringing that to all of you. It's a new monthly series we've developed to showcase some of the most innovative and talented contemporary poets. And tonight, we're very lucky to hear from Chicago powerhouses Simone Mensch and Roger Reeves, as well as from Jason Koo, all the way from Brooklyn. He just flew here about 2 hours ago. We're really lucky to have him here. Additionally, books will be available for purchasing at the back table after the readings, as well as broadsides that have been printed through the Poetry Center of Chicago. And there's a selection of broadsides, as well as one of Simone's former reading broadsides. And I'm sure maybe she would sign that after for you. Yeah, because she's nice. So tonight, our first reading will be by Simone. Simone's a good friend of mine and a really amazing poet and person. She's the author of 5 books, including Lamp Black and Ash, Orange Crush, and most recently, like a week ago, most recently, Wolf Sentos. In addition, her chapbook Trace received the Black River Award from Black Lawrence Press. And some of her honors include an NEA Fellowship, an Illinois Arts Council Fellowship, Marianne Moore Prize for Poetry, the Catherine A. Morton Prize for Poetry, PSA's Bright Lights Big Verse Contest, and residency fellowships to Yaddo, ArtSmith, and the Vermont Studio Center. She received her PhD from the University of Illinois Chicago, different school, sorry, and is a professor of English at Lewis University, where she serves as chief faculty advisor for Jet Fuel Review. Collaborative sonnets written with the narrator are forthcoming in the American Poetry Review, New American Writing, Blackbird, and others. So please join me in welcoming Simone Mensch.
Going first is always the dreaded position, but I actually switched because I like to be able to focus on the other poets' reading. And I feel like when I'm waiting to read, my mind is pinballing all over the place and I'm not as focused. I want to thank Danielle and Beth. This is one of the more beautiful spaces I've read in, so I'm really privileged to be here. It's gorgeous, right? And of course, my good friend Jason, who is here from New York. I'm very excited to read with him. We read many years ago in Ohio during a blizzard and both thought we were going to die. And then, of course, Roger, whose work I've admired, but I've never actually had the pleasure of reading with him. So I'm going to read from the new book that's very old at this point, and then depending on time, I'll read from my current project. The book in question, it's a form from the 4th century called a cento. I'm often mansplained that it's cinto, and if you live in Italy, yes, there's a cinto olive oil that I own. But from my understanding, it's actually cinto, or probably cinto as well. And it is a form that's a patchwork form, so I'm taking other people's poetic texts and I'm quilting them into new work. And they're all held together. The spinal cord of the book, it's called Wolf Sentos, very obviously is the wolf. Because as I was reading, particularly international poets, I discovered that poets were obsessed with animals in general, because I think they become a mode of communication for many poets, but particularly the wolf. Across continents, across decades, there are hundreds of poets that have written about the wolf. And these poems, because of the form, are really interested in textuality. So you'll see a lot of language that pops up regarding textuality. They're about desire and transformation, and mainly I think they're elegiac, and for me that will be very obvious. But they arc their way from elegy to renewal to transformation, so I'll read them in the order that they are in the book. Wolf Cinto. I saw my life, a wolf loping along the road, a glint of bone visible and then gone. A landscape altered. Ideas, hair, fingers fall and come to naught. A shirt blows across the field. A shrug of stars as flowers go out on the sea. Maybe the whole world is absent-minded or floating. The flower, the weather, the room empties its mind of me. The sea pulse of my utterance. I have stood for a long time at the edge of a river, unknown, nameless, hands groping for the shape of the animal, not knowing what all the music had been hiding. Wolf Cinto. Desire discriminates and language discriminates. Let me lick your closed eyes where the landscape begins in smoke. The blue petals become a single text, a wolf in a wilderness of snow. Open my ears and let your frenzy enter relentlessly, like a blind machine, like a sea captain who doesn't trust the stars, carried off by an unsteady boat. My life, this shirt I want to take off. What can't be said is the dark meat, seeking your mouth in another's mouth, the whispered cries of animals without sleep. Wolf Cinto. I have lost my being in so many beings. Travelers passing by night, the great wolf who goes wounded and bleeding through the snows. Someone has closed the door, someone heavy with the rain of all eyes. His muzzle has rummaged my shoulders. Thorns illuminate, owls swell the shadows. The last poppy, the last galaxy of the red dress illuminates and scatters the opaque weight of the flesh, that strange, beneficent geography where fingers probe the desert of two lips, a wound where soured sugar flows, where the landscape begins its adulthood of dust. All is near and can't be touched. Wolf Cinto. The day's long madness has drained our bright homeland the color of milk. Someone still faceless waits for us there, where wolves lick at the fever of the banished. This is an old song that will not declare itself. You and I, immobile through the centuries, hunt sleep, vows burning like constellations of drunken fireflies. Below the bloodline, there are subterranean disturbances, the savage lamp of the setting sun, the whole sky mute above the fields like a burning, disregarded word. Moonlight shines through the bones of the lizard, breathless in the river. Waters close over us, a name lasts but an instant. That's it. Something licks us up. Let the birds drum on black bark again. And the next one's very specifically an elegy. It was written for someone I didn't know well, but I brought him to my campus to read along with Jason Koo many years ago, Jake Adam York, and he passed away last year at the age of 40 very unexpectedly, and this was for Jake Adam York. In the wood world's torn despair, where winter wolves bark amid waste of snow and last year's leaves are smoke, compose the dark, compose the last words still tender on the eardrum as evidence collects beneath the canceled stars. Today I have done nothing. Nor could I recognize you in the haze with a plain face hiding thousands of other faces, faxillated, beautiful. The black waltz starts. The gods don't speak. For a long time, there was no sun. Like a midnight mockingbird, you appear now singing in the foliage. The joy of your approach, perhaps for the last time. And then I'm going to move to the last section, and the last section is where it arcs into the title, Every Transformation is Possible. And it has an epigraph, is someone somewhere saying my words? Wolf Cinto. There is a wolf in me, sound of country's red cassia flowers, inheritance of gallows, something in the mouth like feathers, and always a single word sinks toward the green zone of morning, straight into the plow of nothingness. But this, my sweet doctor, this world is visible through your body. Solitude sings within its corolla as though a radio played lowly. Peek into every corner of yourself. Small boy alone under the mango trees, coppery taste of cooled songs in your mouth, spaces silted with darkness where solitude rests now and then, like an animal stretched out between light and teeth in obscure calligraphy, expecting nothing above and beyond living. Wolf Cinto. I want to be strung up in a strong light and singled out, winnowed from the water and the fire, stalked by the she-wolf each day to walk the wilderness with its people, its animals, its toil and wind. I want to unfold like Aztec hieroglyphs, to multiply in the glass a transparent gold shirt, exquisite as oranges and leaking muscat. Gavato cask, to listen to the metal rattle of the world as if there are gods somewhere behind a vaulting sunrise, hissing salt, a train of cranes outstretched toward alien frontiers. I want to know there will be wine on the table. To know the tenderness that gathers over shoulders of wives, an open window, a green river, the language of water. I want everyone to know that I am still alive. Okay, so I'm just going to read three poems from the new project I'm working on. I often collaborate, whether it be with the dead or the living, because poetry has always been to me a collaborative art form. I believe I exist in a lineage of poetry, and I don't see myself as a singular entity. So after Wolf Cinto's was done in collaborating mainly with the dead, I turned to the living. And I'm writing a book of sonnets. It's almost done. We refer to them as the Frankenstein sonnets because they borrow a line from a famous or unfamous published sonnet from someone else, and we graft the skin, so to speak, on that originating line. And these, the ones I'm going to read, are the bestial ones since they make a nice flow from the Wolf Cinto's. Settling like an animal in sleep, the poem lies down in the darkness and pretends to rest. But it knows where you keep your secrets. It knows your story, your plan, your favorite rum cocktail, your dislike of pantaloons and fossils. It translates your blighted life into hyacinth light, but adds crime scene tape. It reinstates that which you and only you have sought to suppress. The poem is your best and worst you, your hidden sky, its cavernous blue. It's a tour de force, a Trojan horse, the wilderness enshrouded in your mouth, the names of the dead engraved on each tooth. And I'll close with these two that I refer to as the fairy tale fairy tale sonnets. And you'll see what I mean when I read them. Now I see them sitting me before a mirror, whispers, a sound like grinding candles, soap, black lines on the skin over my heart, someone's God in the air above my head, a cup next to an axe. The night's bridal chamber shuts me in, seizure of wind and entropy within these walls. I cast spells on the copy of myself, marionette for a stranger stage, string and retraction of string, spotlight and trapdoor, hooks and rope. Pain is a mask we all wear. Regrets, a gun we've all shot. Collared in loneliness, an odalisk on display, they douse me in rose water, burn my writings, doll me up for slaughter. You thought I was the kind of animal who would first purr, splay my belly before I bite. I am not feline or femme fatale, despite your desire for me to be your feral other. But this is no cartoon. You're not in some fairy tale. You're in line 7. And my claws are sharp. Here, feel, soon it will be time to eat, and you look divine. Succumb to my wolf face, your own savage sweet tooth. Lick my fur until there's nothing but flesh, no more facade, no camouflage, only revelation, the heart's reddest rifle. Let's be honest, you love hiding, but I love hunting. Let's see who's the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Simone. It's always a pleasure to hear Simone read. And if you don't own any of Simone's books already, just go buy all of them. They're all amazing, and they're all very unique, and each one of her projects is so spectacular. Additionally, she has some books for sale and back, a couple of books for sale and back. But if you can't get them tonight, I urge you to go onto the Sarah Band website. They should be there, right? And you could order one there.